Hello, and welcome to the Architects of Destination Advocacy podcast from Destinations International, the trade association representing destination organizations around the globe, brought to you exclusively by Relic Agency as part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. I'm your host, Andreas Weisenborn, and welcome you for checking out our podcast. For each episode, we want to tell the story of both usual and unusual suspects in our sector's history and the key advocacy moments for them. These stories are meant to tell the tale in full, covering many of our strategic issues and opportunities our sector faces, whether it be community alignment, destination stewardship, resilience, or actions based on values. We hope you listen in and learn from your peers. With that, let's get to the show. Hello, and welcome back, everyone. It's going to be a very short intro because a couple cool small announcements. First, thank you to everyone who's already registered for our annual convention happening in a relatively short amount of time in Dallas. We are completely sold out, and I mean we are sold out via the fire marshal. We cannot accept anymore. So sorry, I really apologize for those who can't make the attendance, but the good news is that right around the corner, you'll see registration for all our fall events. So if you can't meet us in Dallas, please consider seeing us in Little Rock coming up for all our events. If you're curious when that's announced and where we'll be and what we'll be having, which is our Advocacy Summit, our first time EDI Summit, as well as our Business Operations Summit, go to destinationsinternational.org. So for today's conversation and guests, it really is a deeper dive into one of our largest regional demographics of our membership of destination organizations, which is the southeast corner of the United States. Destinations International, we know we can't always be everywhere and try to work with regional and community entities that geographically represent these highly clustered areas of destination organizations. And for good reason, even though we are seeing more and more and more advocacy issues cross state and provincial and even international lines, we can still see highly concentrated, invisible issues that can manifest in these regions based upon history, geography, and demographics. No one knows this better than Southeast Tourism Society, an entity whose responsibility include empowering a diverse network of tourism professionals through education, advocacy, recognition, and a network for the Southeast. I'm excited to bring Monica Smith, its president and CEO, onto the show to talk a little bit about what keeps her up at night. Monica, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Andreas. Glad to be joining you today.
Oh, absolutely. A pleasure is all ours. So just for the audience, would you mind just giving a little bit of intro to background to yourself and as well as also the origin of Southeast Tourism Society?
Okay. So I've had the privilege of serving as the president and CEO for STS for about 5 years now. And prior to that, I spent 23 years in the tourism and hospitality industry. So I have a love for our industry and what we do. Just a few things about STS. We are this year celebrating our 40th anniversary of the association, which will culminate with the celebration at our STS conference in Jackson, Mississippi this September. But to go ahead and give you the background on how STS was founded, it was founded by the first state tourism director for Georgia, Bill Hartman, and we affectionately referred to him as Bill Sr. And at that time, he, along with leaders from a total of seven states, came together in a partnership between those states to promote tourism regionally. And eventually, in addition to their regional marketing, they focused on education and advocacy as additional key tenets of the association. Although Bill was also the first state tourism director for Georgia, he was also the first state tourism director to host a state tourism conference, or what we now refer to as governor's conferences on tourism, and was involved at during his tenure also in the development of the Georgia Work Congress Center. So that's a little bit about our history. And we pretty much stay committed to the tenets of the original seven founders and Bill Hartman Sr.
Well, first, congrats on four decades. That's actually incredible. And I'm sure it's going to be a big celebration for you very shortly. I thought for the audience, would you mind actually listing out the states that are members? The reason why I asked that is because I'm located in Maryland. There's a big misconception of Maryland because of the Mason-Dixon line. Some people think we're in the South. Some people think we're in the North. Marylanders kind of in between. But I wonder if you could actually list the states who are members of STS and also sort of a typical destinationization who makes up the bulk of your membership.
So Maryland is the only state that is not within our, that's within our region, but we're not within our organization. So the states
are, glad I asked.
I'm glad you did too. I'll keep working on that. But the states are Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, Louisiana, Missouri, Mississippi, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Washington, D.C. And out of our 540 members, about 76% of them are, or 64% of them, I'm sorry, are DMOs and state tourism offices. Another 12% are the service providers, and then about 10% are attractions. I think one of the things that definitely makes our work unique and our organization unique is 73% of our members have budgets under $1 million. And so that is something that we always take into consideration when planning for STS programs, creating partnerships with the various service providers. We really keep our members' budgets in mind as we do the work that we do on a daily basis.
Absolutely. And it just, it's a huge swath of our membership as well, this particular region for Destinations International. And that's kind of the heart of the conversation was, you know, even though, you know, we see issues that we know aren't entirely isolated to the Southeast, it certainly seems like recently we've been seen amplified across from funding to unwelcome legislation to boycotts and bans to climate change. Knowing all this, how do you see or view advocacy for STS and your membership?
Well, I believe that advocacy is really a critical skill set for current and future DMO leaders. And I don't think it should just be the responsibility of the CEO. It really, in my mind, is about championing the importance of tourism in the destination, communicating the tourism impacts and benefits, and really educating the stakeholders, including elected officials, on the impact of potential threats to tourism and ways to defend the industry at times. So I know we've talked a lot, you know, in the tourism industry about stakeholder engagement and community relations, and really advocacy is a part of that. I think when we call it advocacy, sometimes it's intimidating to folks, but it's really a part of the work that they're already doing in their community to talk about the importance of tourism, but there might just be opportunities and issues where they need to really come out and rally the industry about what the impact of legislation, what the impact of disasters on the community might have had. You know, whenever there's an opportunity to rally for the community, this is where I think the advocacy skills are really important for destination leaders. So my goal is to really get our members comfortable with advocacy efforts at the local, state, and federal level. And I've always said, if you're not comfortable advocating at the local level, you definitely are not going to be comfortable at the state or federal. And so we really want to get them comfortable starting close to home. And I have just seen it's more successful when it's not just the CEO, but it's other senior leaders in the DMO or tourism organization that are comfortable advocating also. And, you know, we look at it as an opportunity for to begin getting our new leaders, our future CEOs, trained on this and comfortable with advocacy and what it means. So there are a variety of educational opportunities and resources that we share with our members throughout the year, just like you are sharing with your members in the industry. Marketing College is a major program for us. That's been, we did our 31st year of Marketing College just a couple weeks ago, and we have advocacy sessions in all 3 years of the Marketing College program. So we're making sure we're covering the TMPs as they go through that process. And we will continue to provide links to resources for our members from industry partners like Destinations International, U.S. Travel, and others, because there are some issues where the entire industry has got to rally. I believe that with advocacy, and what I try to share is that it requires collaboration, and we are encouraging leaders to start developing and updating local advocacy plans. And that kind of goes back to your community relations or community outreach, making it a priority to not only build the relationships, but communicate regularly with the local, state, and federal officials in their community, especially when they're when they're in the home or at their home base. And there is a variety of ways that DMOs across the country are doing that, whether it's annual meetings or major press announcements or opportunities just to celebrate them and thank them for their support of tourism in a variety of ways. I did want to talk a little bit about the Congressional Summit on Travel and Tourism, which is our DC fly-in program that'll be on July 10th through 13th. And it's really an opportunity from the delegations from the 13 states to get together and make appointments to visit their congressional representatives in DC, update them on key legislation that's impacting tourism in the states. And some of the issues are national that we need to have an opportunity to talk to them about when they're there. But what I really like about this event is that it also includes a policy briefing from the federal agencies engaged in tourism and many of our federal tourism partners. So it's another educational opportunity for our members. So all of that, I think, is important work that's done because the legislation is changing so frequently. You know, the impacts of the media feedback on a variety of issues can, you know, have a negative impact on tourism efforts and local communities as well. And so I think that's always going to be ongoing work that DMO leaders need to do.
Well said and well done. A part you mentioned in the earlier part of the conversation, you mentioned advocacy being one of the initial core tenets of your organization. But I think you have to agree, it feels like just the issues that we're facing, it's just the intensity and the speed of it is just leaps and bounds here. Do you feel that way as well for your kind of corner of the world?
I do. I feel like every month is something else. It's always something. And I know, you know, in the midst, especially for the work we're doing, we want to be happy and welcoming people to our communities. Yep. That's what we're training the leaders to do, that we to be prepared to and have their communities be prepared to welcome visitors. So I know it's frustrating when there are so many issues that are coming to the forefront. And it seems like it's something every month. Yes. And whether it's, okay, now, you know, our hotel motel tax is under attack because somebody else wants to use it for a purpose it wasn't intended. We've got to defend it and protect that. Or, you know, we've got to spend time. How do I make time to continually updating and connecting with the elected officials about the positive impact of tourism as we have all these, it seems like once we finish an election cycle, another one starts. And so you're kind of starting, yep, to rebuild relationships again. How do we get together within the state or within our region to respond to unwelcome legislation that, you know, points a negative spotlight or gives a negative impression? And especially in the South, where, you know, Southern hospitality. So anytime you have legislation that goes against Southern hospitality, I mean, I think it's a concern for leaders in our region because of that perception from a lot of visitors, but also around the country.
Absolutely. That's a wonderful point.
And there, it seems to continue to be every year a need to advocate for increases in tourism funding. And that takes time, energy, and justification, whether it's at the local level to retain funding or increase funding, or even sometimes at the state level, local DMOs trying to advocate for additional, you know, funding support for the state tourism organization. So, and I won't even get into how to advocate for that disaster recovery funding when, you know, communities have been hit by hurricanes or fires or tornadoes or, you know, a whole host of weather-related events that we have no control over. So, you know, one of the things I think about leadership in regards to advocacy is, you know, it's sometimes the best leadership we have is determining which battles not to fight, because there are often a lot of issues going on at the same time.
Wonderful accent point to that. I mean, I'm glad you mentioned the media part a little bit earlier, because it seems like so much of the media and air gets talking about one particular state, Florida. I mean, that's from over 10 years ago to talk about, you know, questioning of funding to visit Florida to just the barrage of the news cycle of, you know, unwelcome legislation. I was just kind of curious, for your membership standpoint, what are you hearing from those members who are, you know, really boots on the ground dealing with these political flashpoints, what are they reaching out to you for help or assistance that they're looking for in these circumstances and battles, whether they choose to enter them or not?
And I think, yeah, Florida is, I spent 2 years at Visit Jacksonville. And since then, what I've observed is, you know, every year the industry has to rally. So either they are rallying to support the sustained funding of Visit Florida, or they are rallying to sustain their own local DMO funding. It tends to flip back and forth from year to year. And so what I have seen, they definitely, or we have members that communicate with us about the challenges and the legislation that they have to advocate for or against each year. And it really is about everybody getting on the same page and everybody reaching out to their elected officials at the local level and staying engaged in the process. So, you know, sometimes the crisis will help create stronger relationships and sustain relationships. And I think in many cases with some of the leaders that we work with in Florida, that it has, because every year they're having to advocate to support tourism in one way or the other, in addition to, you know, the impact of the storms on the state and advocating for their communities and getting recovery funding and support as well.
I mean, I think we both can agree. I mean, just the role of a desertization has gotten more and more and more important to community, but at the same time, it's also gotten simultaneously even harder to do the job. I'm just curious to how that manifests up to you. How has your role shifted through leading, you know, STS through all of this?
And, you know, Andreas, one thing I didn't mention, and I think that we have to be aware of, you know, COVID was, and the pandemic had a tremendous impact on our industry.
Oh, everybody absolutely knows. Yes.
And it showed the importance of tourism, which was a plus. But I do think, you know, some entities at the local level seeing the COVID recovery funds coming to tourism organizations might have caused some issues that might not have been there had we not had COVID. And so I think how my role has shifted through this is really, you know, increased focus on advocacy, education, and resources for the members, trying to share the message that there are a variety of resources out there from associations like ours and yours that should give them some tools and support to have the confidence to advocate for tourism at, you know, local, state, and federal level. We are encouraging members to share their challenges, which they do, and best practices and some tools that they've used, and to ask us for help, you know, when they need it, and referrals. Because one of the things we realize here, being a regional association, is bad legislation often crosses state lines. So it's really important to watch what's going on in the surrounding states so that, you know, our tourism leaders in nearby states can be prepared and, you know, work with their state, you know, lobbying organization or advocacy organization for tourism to face, you know, head off those challenges that and be prepared for the messaging that they might need to create to address some of the issues that they might have seen in neighboring states. So it really is about just sharing the best practices, sharing resources, referring people to, you know, experts that can help them in those areas. And I think this is just something we're going to have to continue doing. And we're getting more and more success stories, but I think we're going to continue to have some challenges as time goes along.
Absolutely. Monica, you're part of an entity that's responsible for so many different members and so many different member needs. I know you know that from the day to day. I have to ask, what is your favorite part of the job?
That's a great question. I think my favorite part of the job is there are a couple. I really enjoy engaging with the industry and having an opportunity to participate in classes and educational sessions. I really have enjoyed our work with trying to involve hospitality and tourism students in our program. So I get a thrill out of that, exposing them to other aspects of the industry. And it's just amazing for me. I get a joy out of seeing our members connect with members in other states and build you know, their network of resources and support. Because I know that's been critical in my own professional development, having a core group of other DMO leaders who might have been moving up their career path at the same time as me, and seeing us all get to the CEO level and still be able to support each other. So I think that's one of the great things about the networking aspect of STS. But Andreas, I forgot one thing that I wanted to share with you about, speaking about tourism advocacy. One of the focuses that I've been sharing with our members and will continue to focus on, as we talked about disaster recovery. And through my work on the TTAP board, I learned that the community, the comprehensive economic development strategies that are the regional plans typically submitted to the EDA are really the quickest way for our communities and regions to obtain federal funding after a disaster. But in many of those plans, there is not an incorporation of the tourism efforts. And so I'm really trying to encourage our members in the industry to collaborate and communicate with the regional economic development entities and ensure that as quickly as possible that tourism gets added to those SEDS plans, so that if we have another disaster or pandemic, that our industry can more readily get the federal funding quicker. So I think that's another important piece of work that I'm going to be continuing on with.
I love how I asked you a question about yourself and you quickly pivoted to help for your members. That's a true association executive. I just at the point that I appreciate the response, because I would absolutely have done the same thing and whatever the same answer as you. Monica, again, thank you so much for being on the show. Folks want to learn more about your organization, your events, yourself. Where can they go and how can they contact you?
They can contact me at monica@southeasttourism.org, and they can go on our website, which is southeasttourism.org. We'd love to speak with new folks and gain new members to the association and help the industry as well.
Absolutely. And again, happy 40th as well. Thank you again for joining myself, Andreas Weisenborn, and Monica Smith on this month's episode of the Architects of Destination Advocacy. Please make sure to subscribe within your podcast listening service to always catch the latest episode. To learn more about the work we do, please make sure to subscribe to our newsletter at destinationsinternational.org, or check out our content through the advocacy section at the website, or speaking at one of our upcoming events. Thank you, and we'll talk soon.